Good morning, everyone. We greet you all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here this morning and worship here at Susquehanna Valley again. Bring greetings from Heffern Street to you all this morning. It's just good to be in God's house again and worship the Lord. I enjoyed the service, enjoyed the singing. I just appreciate the song, "When Peace Like a River." Is it well with your soul this morning? It's a challenge. Challenged by that song, "Is it well with your soul?" I hope everything is well with you all this morning. For a message this morning, it's good to see all the children here again this morning, and it's a blessing that it's a real blessing that we can bring our children along to church and have children. You know, children this morning are just a real blessing from God. I know I take my children for granted. I just think they're part of the Rife family. But you know, it's more than that. Our children are just more than Rife, Gaiman's, or Burkholder's. They're actually a blessing. They're from God. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." That is so true this morning. Our children that are sitting beside us this morning are an heritage of the Lord, a blessing from God. You know, God gave us our children for a reason, and that is to raise these children up, that they become men and women that want to serve God, that want to walk after God. And so when you think of that, doesn't that put a serious responsibility on us as parents this morning? You stop and think, our children this morning, you know, we want them to choose to follow God. So it's a serious responsibility as us as parents to train and teach them. It's serious because what God put in each of our children is an eternal soul. And a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. And as mom and dads, when we think of that, that puts a really serious responsibility on us as parents. And we as parents this morning, I know we all want to see our children grow up, follow God, become Christians, have that desire to walk after God. You know, it's sad to see so many today that have maybe been raised in Christian homes but have turned their backs on God. And it breaks our hearts when we see that this morning. But we know this morning that each one of us, and that involves our children, have a choice to make. You know, we can train them, we can teach them, but when it comes down to their choice, they have to make that choice. How do we get our children to make that choice or want to follow God, to become a Christian? And you know that all of our children are born with that sinful, evil nature. And it doesn't take long when they come into our arms. And when you see that evil nature just want to come out of them, it can be at a young age. It's a nature that is bent toward sin, bent toward wrong. It's a nature that wants just to tell lies, be disrespectful, disobey. The list just goes on. We don't need to teach them that. That's an evil nature that's inside of them. So this morning, us as parents this morning, our children need to be trained, taught, guided, directed, disciplined, and the list goes on. It takes a lot of time, a lot of investment. And I'm glad this morning that we can go to God's Word. You know, what would we do without God's Word that we can go to and get our directions from? And it's such a blessing. And there's so many verses we could go to that teach us on this subject of child training. That is not my sermon this morning. It's not a child training message, but I would like to speak to us as parents this morning. That's the burden of my message this morning. What are we as parents supposed to do? There's one verse here in Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but what are we supposed to do? But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We as fathers, we're not supposed to provoke our children to wrath, but bring them up. This morning, teaching and training our children is very important. But I like to, you know, we can have that, maybe the strictest child training program out there, and we can be have our children do what we say. But we need to take that maybe a step further. And we can have our children maybe, you know, just listen at the snap of our fingers. But this morning, we need to have God in our homes this morning. As a dad, I need to live a godly life. As you, as parents, we need to be God-fearing parents. Back to Psalm 127. I like to read a few verses here. It says in verse 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman lieth, watcheth in vain. You know, this verse is so powerful this morning. And if we are building our homes, raising our families, and the Lord's not in it, our homes will crumble this morning. I'm set on that. God needs to be the foundation of our homes, or of our homes this morning. As dads and moms this morning, as parents, we need to have God in our hearts. We need to have that vibrant relationship with God. We need to love God and want to serve God with all from the bottom of our hearts. And when we do that, won't our children see that? You know what? Mom and Dad are committed Christian. And the way they respond when those trying circumstances come, or how they will take disappointments, or how I would respond when my day goes bad. Will I respond in a way that tells my children that God living in my heart? Do they see that when a bad time in my life, a trying circumstance, that I turn to God? They'll see how genuine Dad is, how committed he is. But when I come in storming mad, or my day is just not going right, and I just take it out on the children, or take it out on my wife, or it's just I'm just a bear to live with, just because my day ain't going right, how is my children going to respond to that? This morning, who is the God we're serving? Can my family see that God's in my life? I like to look at an Old Testament man this morning that's been inspiring to me. I know we've been in the Old Testament this morning, and I like to look at account here in Joshua. I like to think about Joshua this morning. You can turn there if you like, Joshua's chapter 24. What comes to your mind when you think of a man like Joshua? Well, Joshua really stands out to me. I believe Joshua was a man that was just committed to God, and obeying God and serving God. I guess one of my first things when I think of Joshua, I think about back there when the children of Israel were back in, I think it's in Deuteronomy, when they were ready to cross into Canaan land, into the promised land, and how Moses sent out those spies and those 12 spies. And just remember, how were the spies that came back? You know, 10 had such a bad report about this land they were ready to go into, and just a horrible story. Anything negative they could think about, this this land of Canaan, they heard it. But you see, we see two individuals, Josh and Caleb, that were standing up for, and how come they had such a different outlook on that whole thing? And they were ready just to, come on, let's go, we can do this. And doesn't that show something about how a man Joshua was and Caleb, how committed they were in God? You know, they seen in times past how God was leading the children of Israel. They seen the hand of God with them, and they were ready to move forward. Yeah, did they see the walled cities? Did they see the giants that were there? They did. But they had their perspective and focus on God. And we see that, and we know how that whole story is a sad day, how God had to come down and punish the children of Israel, and 20 on up could not see the promised land. They had to spend another 40 years in the wilderness. But we have only Joshua and Caleb could see this land. We have coming into Joshua, in the book of Joshua here now, we have Joshua coming and being the leader. Moses dies and Joshua steps forward and demonstrates his faith in God as he took up the challenge to lead this nation. You know, as he crossed the Jordan River, you know, on dry ground, as they conquered Jericho, and as they went into the town of Ai to conquer it, they fought the Amorites. But what really stands out to me, I look at Joshua, his position and what he had to do was not easy. But he leads his people in faith in God. And his commitment to God just really, really does amaze me. And he obeyed God in every detail, no matter what the situation was. The faith Joshua had as he is amazing, as he stepped forward, conquered the land. And I like to bring you to chapter 24 here. Chapter 23 and chapter 24 is Joshua's farewell message to the people. And we can see, and as you read chapter 23 and 24, you could just see, just feel the heart cry of Joshua as he pleads with his people. And I like to read chapter 24, 1 through 13 here, 1 to 15 here. And Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers. And they were presented themselves before God. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your father dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. And I gave unto Isaac Jacob and Esau, and I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which was died among them. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea. And the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen and unto the Red Sea. And they cried unto the Lord, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them, and covered them. And your eyes, you have seen what you have done in Egypt. You have dwelt in the wilderness for a long season. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, which dwell on the other side of Jordan. And they fought with you, and I gave them unto your hand, that you might possess their land. And I will destroy them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel. And I sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. And I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. And so I delivered you out of his hand. Then I went over to Jordan and came unto Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Gershonites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I delivered them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, even the two kings of the Amorites. But not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. I have given you a land which you did not labor, and cities which ye not built, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him with sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you, and if it seem evil unto you, serve the Lord. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether it be the gods which your father served, that which on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that is the title of the message this morning. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Back in these couple of verses we read, Joshua reminds the children of Israel what God had done for them in the past and how he had provided for them and brought them up out of Egypt and into this land of Canaan, and how he's fought for them and provided them a city to live in, which he didn't build, and vineyards and olive gardens and so forth. And now in verse 14, Joshua encourages them to fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And in verse 15, I just like the way Joshua comes to the people and says, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve. You know, he didn't force that choice on them. You know, he didn't force that choice on them and say, now you got to serve God. I mean, I'm going to make you serve God. But no, he said, choose you the other day whom you will serve. And he even gave them some options. He said, you can serve those gods over there that your father served across the flood. Or you can serve the gods of the Amorites. Choose who you want to serve. But where does Joshua? And what really stands out to me here. But Joshua says, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. He was not going to serve the gods that the other people and nations around him were serving. He was not going to serve the gods. He was going to serve his great and holy God. He was taking a definite stand for the Lord. This again shows his spiritual leadership. And he was willing to stand for truth and for right, regardless of what people around him were going to do. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's just I see a man had a spiritual vision for him and his house. And don't matter what the people around him were doing, he was going to serve God. This morning, parents, dads, fathers, leaders in the home, is that my commitment this morning? Am I committed to serve only the Lord? Is my commitment that, you know, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord? Is that just pouring out of my life this morning? And I believe this morning that the people that involved around Joshua's life, whether if it was his neighbors or it was the people that knew Joshua, knew where Joshua stood. I don't think they had to question where Joshua was going to swing at or which, you know. I don't believe when they met Joshua in town, they say, no, on Sundays, or depends where you meet Joshua. He claims, he professes that he is a Christian and he is serving God, but wow, when you see him out in town or out in the job, you wonder. I believe this morning Joshua's family knew who Joshua was serving. Could they see Joshua's God coming out of his life? Could they see his walk and talk line up? I believe this morning, I fully believe that everyone that was involved in Joshua's life could see that he was truly serving God and his house. I don't believe there was a question in his life. I believe, as for me and my house, that testimony just rang out of his life, just poured out of his life. That was his testimony. Is that our testimony this morning? Dads, this morning, is it? You know, this morning, brethren, we cannot live a double standard life. I'm afraid that won't cut it this morning. And I'm not sure why sometimes we always try it. How do we expect to raise a family and want our children to follow God and serve Him when we ourselves are not just fully committed ourselves? And if I'm going to be a different person here at church and put on my best front, but when I walk out this door and I'm a different person throughout the week, how do our children sort through that? So often we can put on those fronts when we're here at church. We can act like a Christian this morning, but you know, behind our, maybe it's our plain clothes, there's a different life. That type of commitment this morning is not going to work. And it's the worst thing about it is that our children see right through that. It confuses them. When they see Dad, a different person here, as soon as he steps inside the church door, he's different than he is out at home. Just a reminder to myself. Are we like Josh this morning, fully committed? Do our homes have that ringing testimony this morning? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This morning, we all need personally have that, make that commitment. But especially as parents, we need this morning have godly homes. Like we need to have the Lord building our house in there in Psalms. God needs to be the foundation of our homes. Homes where Dad and Mom are just committed to each other, that love each other. You know, this morning when Mom and Dad aren't together, how do you expect our children to sort through all that? It just sets their little world upside down. You know, there are times when we don't agree as husband and wives, but what do we do about it? Do we sit there and argue until we get our point across, or do we just make a decision and move on? Is our homes this morning a place where our children love to be and love to come to? They know where they're going to find safe and peace and rest, and just love to sit around our tables, or and just love to sit in the living room together. Or list can go on. Love to be with the family. Our children should know. They'll know that if their parents are trying to do what is right, and they can see that they are fully committed to God. Our homes this morning need to be a place where we take time to read God's word. Family worship must be a must. A lot of time spent in prayer. Just a few practical points, though, but I believe it makes a difference this morning. I believe it really does. When we have Mom and Dad, a committed relationship, and then spend time together, read God's word, spend quality time together as a family, it's just worth it all. Going back to our verse 16, I love the people's response here. You know, Joshua gave him this choice. Which one are you going to serve? As for me and my house, will you serve the Lord? Verse 16, the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord, our God, He is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and prevailed and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people and through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from among us all the people, even the Amorites which dwell in the land. Therefore, we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. You know, this morning, Joshua did not tell the people to respond that way. How, what made him want to serve God? You know, you would have thought they could have said, you know what? Joshua gave us a choice here. He said we can go serve the gods of the Amorites. Why don't we just do it? He didn't say we have to serve God. These people were committed. I believe it's because, didn't they see their leader, a committed leader? Didn't they see Joshua that was committed in serving God? And Joshua tells the people in verse 19 that ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. And after that, he hath done you good. Joshua said, if you're going to forsake God, he will hurt you and consume you. In verse 21, people say, nay, we will serve the Lord. In verse 23, Joshua tells them, then put away those strange gods your father served. Incline your ear unto God of Israel. In verse 24, the Lord God we will serve. We have the people answering Joshua, and the Lord God we will serve, and his voice will obey. Again, like I said, I believe the reason why the people wanted to follow God is because how committed Joshua was. And they seen the hand of God working through their lives. They seen how God had helped them in times past. You know, they just had quite a story as they were marching into Canaan land there. How God was with them and was committed to stand by their side and help them along. This morning as parents, I fully believe that we as parents, as mom and dads, best thing we can do this morning is be fully consistent in our teaching and training. Be fully committed this morning. It's what it's going to take. That our children may want to follow our footsteps. And that they see our examples that they want to follow. You know, this morning, like I said, our children all have an eternal soul that someday will spend eternity somewhere. You know, this morning, the only thing we can take along to heaven is our children. And let's be parents this morning that take time to invest for them. Show interest in their lives. Build that relationship with them at a young age. You know, this morning, I think one of the things that we all struggle with is that as we're raising our families, we're trying to make a living. And we can get so busy in trying to make a living that we can neglect our families. I know we got to provide this morning. They need to eat. They need clothes. They need a place to live. So we got to provide. But let's not become so busy that we neglect our children. You know, this morning, they're only young once. They grow up so fast. Do we see the importance of spending time and investing in our children? I think it's a challenge to us all. It's a challenge to myself. And yet, the farm is so busy. We get so busy, or the job is so busy. And we want to get this done. We want to provide. We want to get that property paid off. We want to, you know, the list goes on. What are we doing this morning as parents? Are we investing in them? I know our children take a lot of time and investment, and it can be wearisome sometimes, but it's an investment. The last point I'd like to bring out here, our spiritual lives will influence those who live after we die. Verse 28, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the borders of in the inheritance of Timnath-Serah, which is the Mount Ephraim on the north side of the hill of Gaash. And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, which was known all the works of the Lord which he had done in Israel. The point I'd like to bring out here, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days that outlived the elders that outlived Joshua. You know, when you begin reading the book of Joshua, we see a new leader stepping forward. Seemingly the impossible task of leading these people out and leading a nation to overtake a land of Canaan. But by following God closely, Joshua led the people through the military victories, and faithful spiritual obedience. And then we have, in these verses we just read, Joshua dies. Then what? People forget about Joshua? It says, Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders. You know, this morning, our choice to follow God, won't it impact the following generations? And maybe today you're sitting here, and you probably are sitting here because of a choice Dad and Mom made to follow God. Is that why you're here this morning? And the choices I make today, will my son and daughter follow? And when we think of that, it just makes us think soberly and righteously. Makes us want to live soberly and righteously and teach our children to grasp the truth and the faith and pass that on to the next generation. This morning, let's each one of us, especially as dads and moms, as parents this morning, let's be faithful to our Lord. Let's have that testimony of Joshua. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Nothing else. You know, it might be taking a stand by ourselves. It might say no to many things. It might be, I don't know what we'll face yet. It might say no. As a family, this is where we draw the line, because we are serving God, and this is how I feel God wants me to serve, how we want God to live our lives. Am I that committed this morning? Or am I just kind of like floating around, not sure? Yes, we want to follow God, but don't want us. How is our commitment this morning? Are we a people this morning, I believe, that need to be on fire for God this morning, and that our children would see it and say, you know what? Dad and Mom are committed. I can see it. I want to follow it. I could say our children do have a choice to make on their own. But this morning, let's have that testimony. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord no matter what. Let's pray.